You are about to be inspired, motivated, and your life changed. Are you ready? Welcome to the God's Love Podcast. Here's your host, David Mastin.
Welcome to the God's Love Podcast. I am your host, David Mastin. Thank you for joining me. Y'all, this is early. It's real, real early. Real, real early. The brother is struggling. So y'all pray for me as I try to get through this episode without yawning and missing words and all that kind of stuff. But welcome to the God's Love Podcast. Come on in the room. We got some stuff to talk about today. As you all know, I am pretty vulnerable here and open and talk about everything. And here's what's crazy about this. I was supposed to have a 50th celebration and do a special podcast, but that just didn't go through. So you guys are going to get a regular one, and maybe on down the line when I can kind of figure out what to do and maybe team up with a couple of people, we'll do something big just to kind of reintroduce the podcast, maybe rebrand it. We're not going to rebrand anything because we've done that more than enough, guys. So, but honestly, I appreciate all of you guys for joining us. And again, this is our 50th episode or 51st episode. And I am just grateful for the ones who listen. I'm grateful for the ones who support, and I'm grateful for the ones who don't, because the ones who don't just don't need the information, I guess, you know, they just don't like it, which is perfectly fine in this world. You have a ton of podcasts to help you out. But if you think this podcast is going to help somebody, please like, share, subscribe, tell your friends about it, tell your mom about it, tell your dad about it, tell your grandmother about it. If she just chilling, your grandmama just chilling. Hey, grandmama, listen to this. I think it'll help. But no, honestly, I am sincerely appreciative of all of you who support and all of you who pour out each and every day, and you listen and you provide guidance and you give tips and all that kind of stuff. So I just appreciate all of you. All right. And saying that, let's talk about it, right? Today, it's a little crazy for me, guys. Today, I'm a little bit in a rush. I start a new job, new career on today. And so that's all exciting and everything. But I got some stuff to talk about. So I'm pretty vulnerable on here. You guys know that. I think I was talking about that earlier, and I'm pretty open as well. My life is always, I feel like I'm telling all my business on here. And if anybody ever wanted to know what was going on with me or was ever going on in my life, could easily pull up this podcast and just go through it and would know the story of David Mastin, not King David. Even though we talk about him sometimes, I don't know why I'm being a little silly this morning, but y'all, it's early. I'm tired, you know. But all right, let's get into it. So, guys, over the past week or two, I have been extremely, extremely worried. And the one thing that I've noticed, even when I was talking to my therapist the other day, the one thing that I noticed is that sometimes I worry about things that I don't even have to worry about. And sometimes I create situations in my head that aren't really there because I may not have anything to worry about. And this is and there's a point to all of this that I'm going to bring up in the end. But last week I went to therapy, and when I was in therapy, I was talking to this therapist, and we were talking about my worry, and I was talking about the things that I was worried about and concerned about. She told me that, and these were probably the most powerful words that I've heard. And the one thing that she said is that, David, you know, sometimes worry is a form of control. Okay. Anybody that knows me or has been inside of my life, I do not like not being in control. Not to where I'm a control freak. Like, by all means, you know, if you need to do something or if you feel like something is better, I'm going to let you have that, right? What I mean by I don't like to not be in control is I don't like when the option for me to jump in to fix something isn't there, right? And the way that I think about it is this. If this is my situation, right, and this is my life, I want it to go a certain way. And if I cannot maneuver it into a particular way, then I feel like I am no longer in control. And what my therapist was saying is that sometimes when we don't have control and we want control, it is extremely hard and extremely difficult to not worry, because worrying is the only way we believe that we have some type of control in the situation. I can't fix it. It's not going to be fixed. There's nothing that I can do to go back and change it. And because of that, I worry. Because that is my form of putting a hand on it. That is my form of saying, I got this, or I don't have this, but I'm going to still worry and be anxious about it. And so the thing that blew me away with that, not only is it because that was true for my life, is that I believe that most of us struggle with this control. And I believe that some of us may be anxious. Some of us may be worriers because, yes, there are things mentally going on. But what God had to reveal to me about myself was that there was things I was worried about that I didn't have to be worried about. And whenever you're dealing with God, God, yes, leaves some things into your control, but sometimes God wants to be in control. And what that means is that, yes, there's some things he empowers you to do, but there's some things that he says, you can't do this. It's too great for you. I'm going to do it. But because you may struggle with worry or anxiety and you struggle with control, you don't want to relinquish over to God that issue, that situation, because it would force you to give up your control. It would force you to trust him and say, God, you handle this the way that you see fit handle it. And the part of the struggle for that is that you don't know how God's going to handle it. See, you know how you would handle it. You know that if you were God, this is what I would do. You know that if you were God, you would make this situation better. You would be a multimillionaire and never have to be responsible for anything, because you would just continuously make yourself a multimillionaire. Even though the resources of the world would dry up, even though it may impact your attitude, even though you may not be responsible or have the capacity to have that, you would keep giving it to yourself, so you would never have to face a worry in your life that you think. Because you know how you would handle situations. You know how you would handle the bad things of your life. Well, what God says is that in some situations and in some cases, you can't handle this. And if you're going to succeed, you have to let me handle this, and you have to allow me to decide for you what is the best for you, because you do not know what's best for you, because you can't see in the future. You see your now, you know your past, but you can't see all the way through to your very end. And because you cannot see all the way to your very end, you need God. You need God to help guide you through that. And you have to let him decide to make the decision. And that's hard. It's extremely difficult. Well, the reason why I'm talking about this, don't laugh at me, is because 2 weeks ago I was in worry mode. Worried about things I didn't have to worry about. Y'all, I was worrying about if I was going to get paid on last Friday. And what would happen if I didn't get paid? The money that I knew I was going to get, I was worrying that I wasn't going to get it. Even when I knew and saw the check, the pay stub. Because, you know, they don't hand, well, some places hand out paper checks, but they don't always hand out, you know, the paper checks. Now, most people, they either deposit on the bank card or, you know, they deposit it in your account and they send you the pay stub early. The reason why I'm saying this is because I was worrying about stuff I didn't have no business worrying about. And so here's the scenario. Don't laugh at me. I had to take a drug test and I had to take a background for this company. Now, y'all, I ain't did any type of recreational drugs since I was a sophomore in college. Okay. I haven't smoked weed since I was a sophomore in college. Haven't done any of that since I was a sophomore in college. Not because I'm better, not because I think it, you know, I'm not getting into no debates about weed or anything. it just wasn't my thing. After a while, and after I got saved, I decided to give it up. I'm not talking about nobody else. I'm talking about me, I'm talking about my preferences and what I think. Again. So I take the drug test and I'm worried now that I'm not going to pass the drug test. Even though I know I ain't did the drug since sophomore college. And in my head, all of these scenarios, maybe this white lady gonna lace my urine sample. I don't know. Maybe they're gonna switch my sample with somebody else and get this mixed up, right? Which I'm sure has all happened before sometime. But the likeliness of it is very rare, right? And so I'm worrying about stuff. When I say I'm worried, I mean I'm anxious, right? I want to hurry up. I'm submitting it, and I want to answer back as fast as I can. And the poor HR lady, I was emailing her every other day. Hey, is everything fine? Which probably was making it worse. Them thinking there's something wrong with me when there wasn't nothing wrong with me. It was just bad, right? And then my background came in. I've never been to jail by the grace of God. I have, and by, you know, by the grace of God, I've had parking tickets. I've had, traffic tickets. I've had speeding tickets. I've had all these things. I think the only thing that I ever really had that was an issue was I had to go to court over like some parking tickets, because I had let them pile up, right? And I was a college student, and I had like 1,000 parking tickets that like equaled up to $225, right? Only court date that I've ever had that I had to actually go in front of a judge. Besides my divorce. And so, but I'm worried. I'm worried that it's going to be something on there. Ain't nothing on there. But I'm worried that it's going to be something on there. And I'm telling people about my worries and they're saying, yo, you don't have anything to be worried about. What's wrong with you, boy? Like, so no lie. This is what happens. And this is when I knew I had a problem. And I had to talk about this problem through therapy. And let me say this. I'm going to interject this into this message that God corrected me on, like, so tough. And I want to make it known that though I am a component of therapy, therapy will not deliver you. Let's hold. I know y'all saying, well, wait a minute. Hold on. What you talking about? Therapy is an assistant. But if you need deliverance, therapy will help you manage your issues. God will help heal your issue. Let's see. Ooh, God, I thank you. Therapy will help you cope and will help you deal with the issues of life. And therapy, even the Bible talks about getting wise counsel and going to counselors. Those are things that you should be doing. And any pastor, any minister, any evangelist, anybody that tells you you don't need to go to therapy is just flat out lying. They're uneducated and run from that person. Okay? Because everybody, to me, needs therapy. That's just my personal opinion, that everybody needs therapy to help process their thoughts. That's just me. And to process what they think on a regular basis. And to have somebody challenge you on the way that you think and help guide the dark thinkings of your life. Sorry, I just hit the mic. In saying that, there's some things a therapist cannot do that God can do, and you cannot make your therapist your God, because God will make sure your therapy is non-effective until you go back to Him. All right. Woo! Public announcement done. All right. So, what I'm, the overarching point, so people are telling me, man, dude, you don't have nothing to worry about. And so then I go to my therapist, we're talking about this, and she says, David, why is this worry there? Like, when can you pinpoint a time where this behavior first started? And I can't, I don't know why I have a runny nose today, y'all. I can't, you know, think about it. I can't put a finger on it or whatever, you know, and I'm telling her, like, I don't know necessarily why I'm being worried about this so much, right? And so here's when the worry took off, right? The lady emails me back on a Monday, the same week that I had was my last day at my other job. And she says to me, she says, David, your background information, it hasn't come in yet. It's taking longer than normal. We'll let you know Friday if we don't get it and next steps. So now in my head, I'm saying, wait a minute, Friday is the last day of my employment with my current employer, and you're telling me to check back with you on Friday once everything is done and once everything is, you know, if you don't have it, you're gonna tell me you don't have it and that I gotta figure out some type of next steps when that's the last day of my job. I'm sorry, my voice got high pitched there because I was really stressed out about that, y'all. Like, I was really, really worried. I was really, really worried about that. Like, it was really, really on my mind. And I called my mom. I'm like, man, yo, this is crazy. You know, stuff, you know, they ain't got my background yet. They telling me they gonna wait till Friday. And my mom is like, but Dave, you don't have anything on your background. She was like, you ain't been smoking weed, have you? I was like, no, I haven't been smoking weed. I've been doing drugs, blah, blah, blah. She was like, so, Dave, what you worried about? And I was like, the boogeyman can take it? Like, like somebody could easily damage it or poison it? Or, like, what if somebody took my identity and they kidnapped somebody? Like, I don't know, mom. Like, anything can happen. Anything. Like, literally anything can happen. And she said to me, like, yo, you have to chill. Like, you have to relax. And here's why I'm talking about this is because I had nothing to worry about. There was nothing to be concerned with. And the problem with worry and anxiousness is that you worry when there's nothing to worry about. And then when there's something to be concerned about or worried about, you're at 100. Now you out of the world because you was worrying before the concern and the issue came. And my mom and my therapist and friends and family, they were all like, yo, you don't have anything to worry about, David. There's nothing wrong. And so I say all of that to say this. You have got to discern, and I'm trying to think of the best way to describe this, and I'm sorry for the pauses. You have to be able to discern and use wisdom when there is something that you should be concerned about and when there's something that you should not be concerned about. And here's the issue with worry and anxiousness, right? Here's the issue with those things. They almost prison hold you because you're so worried, you can't think of a solution. You can't think of a plan B if something did go bad because you're so worried about what may go bad. That hasn't even gone bad. You're so worried about what may happen and what will happen that you don't even realize that you have nothing to worry about. Not only do you not realize you don't have anything to worry about, you don't even have the ability to create a plan if everything does go bad because you're so focused on being worried. So now you're just prison hold. You're just trapped and you can't say anything. You can't do anything. You can't operate how you should be operating. You can't do any of that because you're so focused on how to worry. And so I'm saying all of that, right, to make this overarching point. And that is this. Here's the point that I'm trying to make that is, I think, extremely important. The point that I'm trying to make is that worrying is a choice that you make to do. You decide, I'm going to worry about this. You've made the conscious decision, and the reason it's so severe is because you've been doing it your whole life. Your brain does not know how to not do it. It creates now scenarios for you to be worried about that hasn't never even happened. Y'all, I was worried for no reason. I had no reason to worry. I had no reason to be that stressed. I had no reason to be that anxious. I made the decision to do that. And it was so bad that worrying became a habit. Worrying became a stronghold. Worrying became an addiction. So why am I saying this? All right. Y'all know I'm going to go to this Bible, right? Y'all know I'm going to go there. Even when I think I ain't going to go there, I'm going to go there. Philippians 4, chapter 6 says to do this. This is what it says. It says, don't worry about anything. This is the New Living Translation. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he's done. Now, notice here what he's saying. He's saying, don't worry about anything, pray about everything, and tell God thank you for what he's done. He's trying to get you to change how you think. He's trying to get you to understand that the way you're choosing to worry is your choice. Because remember, sometimes we worry about things that and create scenarios and situations that don't even exist. It's not even there. And then it says, then you will experience, man, this is what I love about God's words. It says, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. And his peace will guard our hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Man, let me tell you, Jesus is teaching me the key to peace is the choice to not worry. The keys to peace is the choice to not worry. The keys to abundant life is the choice to not worry. And the decision that not only am I not going to worry, I'm going to combine not worrying with prayer and thanksgiving. I'm going to combine not worrying, and you can make this an equation. not worrying, plus thanksgiving, plus prayer equals peace. He didn't say he was going to change the situation. He didn't promise that it was going to end. He didn't promise you wouldn't have to face trials of life. He didn't promise you was going to have the perfect life. But what he did say is that I am going to trade you if you can give me prayer and thanksgiving and don't worry. In return, I'm going to give you peace that passes all understanding. What does that mean? That means that in everything you face, I can give you peace about it because you've decided to pray about it, give God thanks about it, about what is good in your life, and then not worry about it. Because worrying isn't going to work. Jesus said, let's worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow is going to bring his own problems. That's what he told his disciples. In Matthew chapter 6, he says, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to come. It's going to bring his own problems. It's going to bring his own situations. It's going to bring his own issues. But what I want you to do is we'll worry about tomorrow when we get there. Right now, I want you to worry about your today. I mean, I don't want you to worry about your today. I don't want you to be overly worried about everything in your life. I want you to pray about it and tell me about it. Man, God says, I want you to tell me what's wrong. And not only do I want you to tell me what's wrong, I want you to tell me what to do. Ooh. Man, he says, I want you to tell me what you would like for me to do. It doesn't mean that he's going to do it. It doesn't mean that he's going to do it how you want it to be done. What he's saying is I want you to come tell me about it. And I want you to not only tell me about it, I want you to tell me what you want. I want you to tell me how you want me to handle this thing. I want you to tell me what is your desired outcome of this. And sometimes our desired outcome is more damaging, so he doesn't do it. But he says, I want you to still tell me. And then after he says, I want you to tell me, then he says, I'll provide you peace about it. Why? Because you trusted to tell me what was going on. You gave me thanksgiving. You decided not to worry about it. You have put your total confidence and faith in me. Sorry, that was my Bible app. I hit the play button. So, real quick. I gotta bring this to a close, right? I don't know why I just went churchy preacher and say I'm gonna bring this to a close. Y'all pray for me. I'm trying, y'all. So this is my favorite part, right? Because God, of this whole thing, man, God is teaching us how not to worry, right? And this is what hit me today that I wanted to come and talk to y'all about on this one beautiful, early, extremely, extremely early Monday morning. And that is when it says, don't worry about anything and that he would give you peace. Here's what he ends it with. He says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. Ooh, look, this is what he said. This is the answer. This is it. This is done. And I'm on, because this is going way too long. All right. So this is what he says. He says to us, listen, I don't want you to worry. Right. And he says, I don't want you to worry, but I want you to pray and I want you to give me thanks. And in return, I'm going to give you peace that surpasses all understanding. In other words, people ain't going to understand why you got so much peace about bad situations. It's because you prayed about it. You decided you wasn't going to worry about it. And then you start giving him thanks. That's the recipe, right? To defeat worry. But here's that's the recipe to get peace, rather. So here's where it comes, man, where he's trying to change our minds about worry, right? He says, I want you to think about the good stuff. He says, listen, I want you to think about the good things. Here's where therapy helps you managing and helping you to deal and to heal with what is going on. When I went to my therapist, she said, I got some coping mechanism practices that I want you to start on. And a lot of those coping practices are self-care. And one of those self-care practices is meditating. I ain't talking about meditating the Buddha. I ain't talking about meditating anything else. But what we talk about is meditate and quietness and grounding yourself and meditating on scripture and God's goodness. And here's where Paul tells us where peace is going to meet us at. He says, when you've decided not to worry, when you've given God thanks, when you've given God glory, when you've prayed about the situations that's going on, after all of that, here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about the good stuff. He says, listen, you have to practice thinking about good things. You have to force yourself to think about good things. And when I meditate and when I take my me time, when I take my time to sit out, that's my time to force myself to think about the goodness of God and the things that he's done for me, right? And the things that he's blessing me with and the things that he's continuing to pour out into me. And yes, everything may not be perfect. Yes, everything may not be the best. Yes, I got my ups and yes, I got my downs. Yes, there's things that I don't know what I'm going to do. There's some things that I don't know how God's going to deliver. There's some things where I question, when is God going to step in for me? And when is God going to work this thing out for me? But what I love about God is that he says the way to combat all those thoughts of worry is to change how you think. And y'all, that's what I have to learn. That's what I'm learning, is I got to change how I think. Instead of thinking about it not coming back in the good way, I have to think that it is going to come back the good way. Instead of thinking that I'm not going to make it, I have to think that I am going to make it. And I have to make that choice. You can't make it for me. My mother can't make it for me. My family can't make it for me. My friends can't make it for me. It's got to be me. It's got to be me. All right. I'm done. I'm getting ready to pray. Father, I thank you so much for your goodness and your mercy. And I thank you, Lord, for always protecting us and keeping us even in the bad times, oh God. Father, and I praise your name. And I'm just asking that, Lord God Jesus, you help us to not worry, that you help us to seek you, that you help us to seek your face, that you help us to, Lord God Jesus, to just let it go. To let it go, to not worry, and to let you have it, God. We need help in that situation. I need help in that situation. And I need you to help all of us, oh God, because worrying, God, it seems natural, but it shouldn't be. And so, God, we're putting our faith and our trust in you, and we're asking that you help us. And we thank you and we praise you and we give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, thank y'all so much for joining. Thank you for listening. Again, like, share, subscribe. Get this out of there. Get this out there. Help somebody who's struggling. And help somebody who needs the words to help them get through life's ups and downs, man. And I appreciate y'all. Peace.
Thank you for listening to the God's Love Podcast. Subscribe, share, and stream on all podcast streaming outlets.